I like what Pastor said about look like Jesus. You're not trying to be a copy of somebody else. You're not trying to look like, you're not following somebody else. Paul said, if you follow me, you only follow me as I follow Christ. I have fun with this little illustration. Now look at this. This is Pastor Jay. This is Pastor Dan. Do we look anything alike? He's a lot more handsome. I got a little bit more hair. Now watch this. Are you going to mix us up once you get to know us? Are you going to say, now, are you Dan or are you Jay? And you all think he's me and I'm him. Not a chance. Now watch this. The truth is, we don't look anything like one another. We can both look like him. Amen. That's what makes us one. That's the gospel. Amen. 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 I like that. You're better looking and I got more hair. I like that. Praise God. I'm Paul. I don't know if that's a problem. I'm excited. God, you're good. Is he good? Weren't those songs amazing? That last song, we could have just camped there for a while, huh?
Yes.
Jesus, thank you. How about if we do something? Let's just pray right now. Father, we call this time, we set this time that we're trusting you come. We're asking you to father us. We're asking you to say what you would say if they handed you a mic. If Pastor and his wife handed you a mic and you stood here, you know exactly what you say to this room because you know this room through and through. We're asking that those be the only words that are spoken tonight, that you would have your way, that you would honor this time with your grace that we set aside to come, to learn, to grow, to become, and that you would absolutely come and meet us right here where we are and say exactly what you would say. Let it burn in our hearts. Let it mark our hearts. Let us be changed because of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good deal. Man, I had fun today. I got a couple directions I could go here. I'm just kind of waiting right now. I won't mess up. I could preach a lot of things and you could say amen. I really could. I want to say what he's saying. Okay. All right. Let's do it this way. Who wasn't here? Who's this your first time here? This is your first time I'm getting to see your face. And you haven't been here for the other two sessions. Okay, got a handful. It's not a ton. That's good. I'll just bring you up to speed real quick without preaching two services. I can never do this quick. I want to do this quick. Help me, Lord. For the last two sessions, in a nutshell, I preached what it means to be a Christian and why God really sent his son. God sent his son to restore truth that got lost through sin in the garden. We were created for God's image to live in his spirit, be empowered by his spirit. He gave us a body to manifest what's on the inside. You know them by their fruits. What's on the inside of a man, you'll see on the outside of his life. He said, if you clean the inside of the cup, the outside is already clean. So you're not trying to clean up on the outside. You're not living plastic. You're not trying to just clean up the outside. If you clean the inside, the outside's covered. Are you with me? Pretty powerful. See, because that other thing would turn into hypocrisy in time. That other thing would turn into play acting. That other thing would be like, hey, look at me, but it's not a legit reality. You know, you walk by the sister in the morning, you say, hey, you look so nice. You go, oh, brother, don't be afraid. People live like that. People say one thing and mean a totally another thing. They'll say in the moment what flies, but they don't mean what they say. If you clean the inside of the cup, that'll never happen. So in a nutshell, we preached about being transformed. That God didn't send his son like we focus on just so we could be forgiven and go to heaven someday. God sent his son so heaven could come into us and we could live the kingdom of God here on the earth. That's really why he came. He came to turn people to the power of God and get them from the power of Satan and get them to the power of God. Amen? So that we can live and walk in the Spirit and destroy the works of the devil. So that the ruler of this world would come and have nothing in us because we've surrendered and died to everything we've been so that everything he is could be alive in us. He paid a price to make us one with him. To put his life, his nature, his spirit, his will, his motives, and his love on the inside. That's a Christian. I'll be bold and I'll be real narrow. I don't see scripturally that anything else is. I just see it's a form of, or a part of, or a piece of Christianity. But Christianity is Christ in me, the hope of glory. The word glory means any made, seen, realized, manifested attribute of God. Any expression of who God is the glory of God revealed. Fair enough? So the Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. Christ in you, the hope of God being seen and known. Ain't that something? That's within your sphere of influence. Now you multiply the people's faces I'm looking at in just a room this size, just a handful of folks, and you think about the impact we can have in the light of our spheres of influence. You start doing kingdom multiplication. You start talking about every one of us. You just talk about a half of us. Half of us walking in half of what we preach this weekend. Come on. Half of us walking in half of what we preach. Just become in love in your workplace. Become in love in your spheres of influence. Become in love in the marketplace, in the gas station. Just seeing and recognizing the need of people around. Just taking risks and faith and stepping up with sincerity and getting involved. And can I pray with you? And hey, I'm feeling this in my heart, man. Hey, can I just speak this over you? This is what I saw when you passed. What do you mean you saw? Let me just explain. Bam, bam, bam. Whoa. Just think of half of us begin to think that way and start living that way. And just think, in a short period of time, each one of us have impacted, sow a vital seed, water some seed, start releasing some seed into our town or community. Times each other, times a month, times 6 months. Whew. Can't even wrap your mind around that thing. When people start walking in love. You just pump and gas. Hey man, how you doing over there? It's pretty cool. These prices are holding in. You know, it'd be great if they go down, but I'm glad they went up. You know, they go, oh yeah, they told me. Just making conversation. So how you doing today, man? Hey, what's going on in your body? You got any pains? What? They look at you like, what? I actually feel like your hip right here on this side. See, you didn't even see that until you started talking to him. Now you're talking to him, you believe that. It just comes in the moment because you stepped out. If you're waiting to hear to move, you'll probably never move because you won't think you heard. But if you step out, God might meet you right where you stepped. It's called living by faith. It's called walking in the Spirit. If you need all your little ducks in a row, you probably never have a full pond. You probably have a lot of empty water out there. All of a sudden you say, man, I just feel like that hip's hurting right now. They told you you have arthritis in it or something. How do you know that? You're freaking me out. I ain't trying to freak you out. In fact, it gets a whole lot better. I'll tell you what. Just keep pumping, man. Reach your hand over. Just take my hand. This is going to be amazing. You're going to love this. What if you start talking bold like that and trust God's going to come when you pray? Because he lives in you and he loves them. And you just make that declaration. You take their hand and all of a sudden, you know, it's not like they, ah! I mean, that would be cool. But that's not what we're thinking. We just want him healed. I just want him healed, man. It's actually, you don't want people falling out in public. No. Right. I had a lady pass out in a marketplace, and it freaked me out, too. And I'm like, Jesus, I ain't trying to tell you how to run things, but this is causing trouble. Everybody got cell phones. They think she's having a seizure. They're calling 911. It's not good. I'm like, oh. Let's heal her. Don't make her seize. She fell off her chair on the floor. My biggest challenge was getting people to turn off their cell phones and stop. And convince them she's okay. They're like, she don't look okay. You try to tell a bunch of people that live by sight that she's okay when she don't look okay. That's a sermon right there for a half hour. And they already dialed 911. I'm like, Lord, don't do it like that, please. I'm trying to tell you how to run things. But you just reach over and you take his hand, and next thing you know, he's going, what? He might even go, what the? Because he ain't expecting nothing. He don't know what's happening. He don't know no better. God ain't offended. Make sure you're not.
Yes.
He knows he owns. That's all he knows. He'd say, I cannot believe he just swore in my holy presence. I've been tricked in that healing. I've seen this man one time get healed. He couldn't hardly walk. He needed a ACL replacement. They wanted to do a surgery and take some kind of a tissue or a tendon and replace it. And he's walking down the street. I said, man, let's just pray. I prayed. He was walking. He said, what the?
leg.
He was walking fine. I ain't never seen this.
Wow, what the blank?
Whoa! And have it reversed. Is God caught by surprise by anything? Did he know that man was going to swear before he swore?
Yes.
Did he already heal him before? We better get on page.
Come on.
We better stop getting offended at the things that God ain't offended at, because his love is greater, his grace understood. While we were yet sinners, he sent his son. Not while you were cleaning up, while you were messing up. Don't forget that. All of a sudden you pray and he goes, man, what? That's crazy. What's happening? Wow. He might say, you don't have to say this. He might say, it's all warm inside. What is that? It's the presence of God. Roll it around. Check it. Whatever you got to do, man. Do the little hip move. Ain't nobody watching. Take your coat and cover it. Come on, man. Just get him to check his hip. Whatever he needs to do to really check it. You know? Whatever he needs to do. And all of a sudden, he's gone. What? Here's why we don't do that. Because we're afraid that might not happen. The number one reason people don't step out and pray for the sick in their personal life is because they're afraid nothing will happen. They don't know what to do if nothing happens. They're afraid of nothing happening. So because they're afraid, they don't do nothing, so they always have what they fear. That's not me, that's just convicting.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
So wonder if it doesn't change. Wonder if he says, no, I ain't got no trouble with my hip. See, we're like,
oh, I would just die.
No, you wouldn't. You're already dead. So if you would just die, you probably needed to anyway. You should be dead already. So if he goes, like I had this amazing experience on the street corner with this lady right across the street. And the Lord was like, hey, you know your friends ain't here. You got time to love somebody. There's some people I want to love. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, because I was trying to, it was crowded. I was trying to find my hookup, my people, because we had to go in a courthouse. I had to help some. I was hoping to keep some guy out of prison and get him a work release, because he was really, I believed, he was changing and growing. And I felt like it was just useless to sit in a cell when he could maybe have work release or house arrest and stay productive, stay in touch with his family. I was just going to speak on his behalf. So I'm looking for him, and court hearing, time frame, you know, you got to make it happen. And he said, you know, they ain't here yet. He said, you know, they ain't here. And it was actually, I was a little early. He said, I want to love some people. And I said, okay. And this lady's standing there hitting the thing to change the light across the street to the courthouse. And she's standing right beside me. And I was like, her? He said, yeah. He said, she has diabetes. I want you to pray for her. So it was so random. You know, we're just standing waiting across the street. I said, hey. She said, yeah. She's so sweet. Hey, yeah. I said, you got diabetes? She said, I do. And I was like, it's really flared. It's really bad. She said, yeah. I said, good. I said, I knew not good. I said, I want to pray with you. And she said, how did you know that? I said, the Lord had just showed me. He just told me he wanted to love a couple of people. And you were the first one. You were right beside me. And he said, you had diabetes. She went into this cry fit. And she went into this thing. You don't understand. You don't understand. I said, Lord, what don't I understand, ma'am? Just this morning, I was so overwhelmed with this diabetes. I cried out in my bathroom and I said, God, you got to do something for me today. Today, God, you got to do something. And I said, you're doing something. Let's pray. We prayed, you just knew it was God. So I was ramped up by that. That was fun. I was like, woo! So I go travel, I'm out of town, I'm preaching them. They take me to this little place to eat. I think it was a Subway. I like Subway. I think it was a Subway. It probably was, because I like Subway. They probably said, where do you want to go? And I probably said, do you care if we go to Subway? Because I like Subway. I'm pretty sure it was, and I was over at the soda fountain. And this lady came up beside me and It's not like a little deja vu, lady beside me, street corner, soda fountain. I thought, it works for me. I just felt like I heard diabetes. I thought, here we go again. I said, hey, girl, you got diabetes? She said, no, am I supposed to? And I said, I'm a strong woman, wrong condition. So what do? Hide your face, die, backslide, and never reach out again.
No!
You know what you do? All in the same breath, you say, oh my goodness, good, I'm glad to hear you don't. She said, why did you even ask me that? I said, actually, I thought I heard that. What do you mean you thought you heard that? Honestly, I'm learning to hear the voice of God in my life. And God saved me, set me free, put his spirit in me. I read my Bible, and I realize there's a word of knowledge in the Bible, and I've been asking for it, and it's amazing. I actually probably had diabetes on my mind because I just saw the most amazing thing on the street corner. He told me the lady had diabetes. She was crying out in the morning for God to help her. And God just came upon her, and it was amazing. I've actually seen so many people healed, hearing what was wrong with them and asking and praying. She said, are you serious? You're serious? I said, honey, I'd be an absolute fool if I wasn't to ask you. No, nothing will happen. Why would I ask you if I didn't have diabetes and run the risk of you saying yes if I knew it was a hoax? It just freaks people out when you talk like that to go, oh, yeah. And I said, listen, I just thought I heard it. I was probably zealous. I probably just thought it. I said, the Lord taught me this a long time ago. It'd be better to say it than wrong than to be right and say nothing. Ain't that sweet? And she says, listen, I said, since we made connection and communication, let me ask you this. How's your health? How's your body? Is there anything we can pray for? Because I believe God can change it right now, and I'm serious. She said, well, you know, and she gave me like two things to pray for. So was it a miss? Was it a blow-up? Was it bad, Dan? Or did God use it as an avenue and a point of contact? Because I don't love my own life unto death, and I'm not ashamed, and I'm not going to turn tail and run, and I'm not like, oh, I missed it. I missed it if I fail to love people. Hello? So you just pray for her. You have fun with it. You hear me? Come on, it's awesome. Number one reason I learned that people don't pray for the sick, they're afraid nothing will happen. Because they don't pray for the sick, they already have what they're afraid of. The Bible says these signs follow those that believe. Not those that are gifted, those that pastor, those that have a healing ministry, those that travel and speak, those that have a website that says healing. These signs shall follow those that we all say we're believers. Probably upon self-confession, we ought to all be praying for the sick. Yay! Gotcha! Anybody know who the old school boy was? And he might still be around. I don't even know if Norval's still alive. Norval Hayes, I'm out of touch with him, but I was aware of him when I first got saved. Do you know some of the older folks now? Norval Hayes. Is he still alive? He is? He wrote a little mini book one time. Somebody handed him maybe these little mini books to check through. It said, you might want to use these in your auto ministry. Pray for somebody about their finances. Give them a little book on healthy stewarding of finances. They get a prayer for their marriage. Give them a little book on love and marriage. And I had these little books. I thought, this is a good idea. So Norval Hayes wrote one, and I was reading it, and he said, like, what's the Sally? Is it Sally and Jane? And what's the books we read when we were kids? The little Jane and Dick and Jane, or Dick and Sally? Who, Dick and Jane? Yeah, Sea Spot Run. Stuff like that. Who remembers Sea Spot Run? Woo. Yeah, woo! Somebody's into that. Somebody got that book at home. Wow, Sea Spot Run. What? It said, the book, this is his mini book. Big black capital letters. Are you a believer? That was on a one page. Are you a believer? Big caps, one page. Flip the page. Are you sure? Next page. Do you pray for the sick? Turn the page. That was his mini book. Are you a believer? Question mark. Are you sure? Question mark. Do you pray for the sick? Question mark. And the next page in regular text, for these signs shall follow those that, all caps, believe. Are you a believer? If you are, why are we praying for the sick? Because the believer will lay their hands, not might, will, and the sick shall, not might, recover. Because we haven't seen everybody healed in their lives, because we prayed and prayed and seen somebody die, we start interpreting Scripture and the Gospel through our experience, and we miss the power of His life and His Word and His Spirit. And all of a sudden, we change our theology based on our life when true theology is based on His. And all of a sudden, we fail to grow up into Him in all things. And we let the truth that's in our heart, or that we think is the truth, be dictated by the way things unfold instead of what He has written. Are you with me? It's really important. It's really important. So start somewhere. I'm convinced of this. And there's something we have to accomplish here. I'm just throwing a little, this is just a little thing we're doing right now, just to get something out of this, hopefully. I'm convinced of this. I talked to Pastor about this yesterday. I said, you know, I'm convinced that we might not be seeing everybody jump and shout hallelujah when we pray for them in our lives. But I'm convinced of this. The more people we pray for, the more things we'll begin to see. Amen. So why would we turn that possibility off? Yeah? It's impossible for God to do nothing. Because nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. If love never fails, then why would we fail to love? If that man at the gas station's hip doesn't change, and he says, no, actually, man, it still hurts. You're not like, oh, sorry, tank's full, gotta go, I'm late for work. I'm never gonna show my face again. No, you're very calmly saying, well, listen, man, I'm so honored that I got to pray with you. I read this in Mark, it's chapter 16. It says, if I lay hands on the sick believing, they shall recover. Man, I'm expecting great change for you. I'm expecting you notice it, that you can't deny it, that you get out of your car to work and you get home tonight, you get up in the morning and you realize, man, this thing's different. And you'll know right away, you'll bring it right back to this point. It ain't because I prayed for you. It's because He loves you and He's real. And He's amazing. And all of a sudden you leave Him in faith. And you don't get in the car and say, boy, I wonder what's wrong with my anointing. I wonder when I prayed it didn't happen. When Jesus prayed out right away, there must be something wrong with me. I guess I ain't really walking in the flow. Father, thank you for the honor of loving that man. God, the word about his hip was amazing. I know somebody said to me, what God reveals, God heals. What didn't seem like it happened in the moment. It kind of tried to puzzle me and throw me. But man, thank you for rescuing me with Mark 16. Because I laid my hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm excited for the recovery of that man. I thank you for the word of knowledge and grace that came on that moment. And thank you today. He knows that he was loved without a string attached to it. Thank you, God, for that honor. Because he's still wondering what the catch is. He wonders what you're going to invite him to, how you're going to try to get him to pray, what you're going to try to get him to say. Almost everybody wonders what's in it for you and where's the catch. Sometimes until you walk away, they don't let down their guard and realize, oh my goodness. It's almost like they did that for me. It's like they care. There ain't no punchline. It's over. He's leaving. That's it. He just did that for me. Watch. You just sowed a seed. You might have watered a seed that was sown. What's God do? Increase. Watch this. Paint pictures like this, man. It's Thursday. He gets in his car. He's done with the gas. He shuts up the pump. Grabs a little receipt. Gets in the car. He goes to turn the key. And before he turns the key, he says, man, that's crazy. I mean, that guy, it's like he really cared about me. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in his truck. All of a sudden, he's aware of the Lord in his heart. Somehow, God just gets his attention and speaks to his heart. I've always cared about you. Next thing you know, he's crying and sobbing. Why? Because somebody had sowed a seed into him before. Or you just watered something that was just lingering there. Or you just planted something vital and God says, man, I'm going to make that thing grow right now. You're driving, if you're not careful, thinking you failed and missed it. What's wrong with me? And why didn't he get healed? He's sitting there crying in his car having an encounter with God. You got to see that stuff and believe that stuff. That's what faith is.
Yeah?
Come on, man. People can treat you rough. It doesn't mean you miss it. Don't debrief and regroup. You just sincerely talk to me. They say, man, leave me alone. You Christians always soliciting. Get out of my face. I don't even know why. I don't believe in your Jesus. And they treat you mean. That doesn't mean you failed or did anything. Well, Lord, what did I do wrong? It's just a reflection of where people are at. But watch this. Another one of you that God sees is available, and he gets you right in their path 2 days later. Hey, man, you look like you're really hurt. Yeah, what about it? Man, I was just hoping I could pray for you. Would you get the blank away from me? 2 days ago, somebody asked me the same thing and wanted to pray for me. You, Chris, I don't even know what this town's coming to. Pushing and soliciting your religion? Sir, I wasn't even thinking of soliciting your religion or pushing my religion. I was just simply caring about you, so you were hurt, and I believed God could do something about it if we just pray. That's all. It was that simple. And so get the blank away from me. Sure, man, I didn't come to frustrate you. Just want to bless you. Have a good day. And you just walk away and you're calm. Oh my goodness, the third one of you, because you're available. Because you're available. Passing right by him. 4 days later. Maybe a week. Maybe a day. Maybe 2 hours. Third one of you. Hey man, what's going on with you, man? You look like you're hurt. Now don't tell me you want to pray for me. Yeah, man, how'd you know? That's awesome. Let's get going. You're the third one in the last 5 days that came up with me and said this. Never in my life did I have people bother me like this and push their religion. Wait a minute, sir. I'm the third person in 3 days that asked you what's wrong with you and could I pray? Yeah, you're the third blanking person. What in the blank? Listen, did you ever consider that maybe God's trying to say something to you, reach you, wants to love you, wants to touch your body, man? You've never in your life had and three people and nobody set this up. We don't have you targeted. I don't even know who you're talking about. God just made my heart aware of you. I was walking down the street and I looked over and compassion filled my heart, sir. I think we better pray. Whew. You see how things work? All of a sudden this man's getting broke down. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Yeah? Wonder if he says, okay. Wonder if he breaks down and gets humble. Wonder if in conversation you get a little word of knowledge and realize why you're so bitter inside. And all of a sudden you say, listen, man, about 15 years ago, when you were part of that gathering, and da-da-da-da-da, how do you, what the? Those things are real. I could tell you so many stories like that. They aren't just analogies. They aren't wishful thinking. It's how God is. You go to a public school, you wake up in the morning and sit at dreaded school, and I got this, and I can't believe I got geography today, and or math or geometry. Ooh, that'll try to bum you out. No, you shake yourself from that and say, God, I thank you for grace to do my schooling. I thank you, my academics are blessed. God, I'm going to do my part, study. You're going to give me wisdom and understanding. But man, I'll tell you what's more important right now. My classmates, my peers, those kids around me, man. God, I just thank you for empowering me. I thank you for giving me vision. I thank you for giving me wisdom, speaking to my heart, and let my life matter much within my school. You start talking like that and start complaining about your classes and I wish I didn't have to go to that county school and I'm tired of people picking on me. Throw that all away. God, thank you that you live in me. Man, you just might be at your locker because you were just in prayer at home and you saw Jenny's face and you said, that girl's 2 lockers down from me. That's Jenny. God, that's Jenny. What are you showing me, Jenny? And all of a sudden in the background, you see two parents fighting and screaming and domestic violence. It's just a silhouette of a picture, but you can tell they're adults. And you realize when you see it, parents, Jenny, broken, afraid, family, falling apart. Wow. Now you go to the locker, you're there, and Jenny comes walking up, somber, quiet, looking down, just doing her thing. You slide right over. Hey, Jenny, how are you today? I'm all right. Listen, honey. I was praying this morning. I saw you in prayer. Wouldn't that be powerful? 15 years old, standing at your locker, not trying to fit in, knowing you're already in, and the Spirit of a living God pouring out and touching Jenny and saving her from stuff. And all of a sudden you said, look, I don't know what's going on with your parents here. How do you know about my parents? I was praying. I saw it in prayer. But he freaked out. It's true. Nobody even knows. I mean, the cops didn't come or anything. I don't know how you can know. Jenny, I was praying. God showed me your parents fighting and you distressed. You're afraid they're going to separate. You're afraid you're going to live in a divorced family. You're afraid you're going to get bounced back and forth. You're afraid that they're going to fall apart and the marriage is going to dissolve. Shh, it's okay. Come here. Father, I thank you right now. And God, wouldn't that be pretty cool? I'd sure be complaining about your classes.
Yay.
A couple years ago, I got invited into a Christian school that turned preppy. Wealthy people were sending their kids there just to keep them out of the public scenario or whatever, but it's still public. It's just, but it was a Christian school. It just was a prep school. It was just a lot of wealthy kids. And it was a Christian school. So because it was a Christian school, I got invited in to a class where they taught Bible. And the guy said, would you come and do the whole day? I said, the whole day? He said, yeah, like, would you take all my classes for the day? And we'll combine 9th and 10th grade. You have 6 periods, 240 students. Are you up for it? You want to preach the gospel in school? I said, I'm so wired. Let's go to it. I got kids falling all day in the Holy Ghost. They're crying because of Jesus and the Word. And the last part of the class, we would just pray for the sick. And I'd get words of knowledge. And they saw 12 miracles through the day with their eyes that were undeniable. They saw a kid that just came out of surgery who had no ability to even bend. The surgery was a flop. And he was in so much pain. And I heard a word of knowledge. And he was crying and stood up. And the kids were freaked out. Some of the girls were already shaking and crying because they knew it was the Lord. And then the fear of the Lord was coming on all these kids all day long. So we prayed for this kid. And he turns and he touches his toes. And he's sobbing and crying. He walks into the cafeteria and says, everybody, look. Look what God did for me in class when they prayed. You guys know I couldn't do that. And they're all like, what? Why can't that be classmates doing that for classmates? Why does it have to be Pastor Dan, guest speaker? Because you invite me in there, I think that way. So stuff's going to happen. I preach that way. God's coming. But doesn't he live in you? Don't think you have to have a ministry. Don't you think you have to have a title or badge? It's just called a believer. You know what happened in that school? Last period of the day, he said to the kids, he said, now listen, if the buzzer rings, be just... don't be disrespectful to Dan if he's not wrapped up. If you want to stay, you can stay. If you need to get home, I understand. But just don't be rude. Don't be loud. And don't just... And he said, but Dan's going to do his best to be done by the buzzer. Amen. I didn't know this, but the 11th and 12th grade, their buzzer rang 10 minutes ahead of 9th and 10th grade, so they could be at their lockers and already out. And there wasn't a big jam and a whole mix of all the grades at the lockers. They just did it that way. It seemed like it worked. So their buzzer rang, and I was like, buzzer 10 minutes early, teacher. He said, that's upperclassmen. It's not their buzzer. You got 10 minutes. I said, good, because we need to pray. As soon as that buzzer rang, guess what happened? The door opened in the back, and kids started filing in, as many as could stand in the room. I looked at the teacher. He said, it's all good. Guess what was happening? Cell phones, people talking in the exchanges of class. All the upperclassmen were here, and you got to get in the room in the last 10 minutes. That's when everything happens. You don't want to miss it. It's crazy. Get in the room. All the upperclassmen poured in until there was no room for an upperclassman to stand. Because they knew it was the last 10 minutes of the class, and they figured something was going to happen. They wanted to catch it and not just hear it on their cell phone. They wanted to see it. Do you know how many people want to see it? That don't really believe, but they want to see it. If they'd see it, it would change something. You say, well, you don't even have that. Come on, don't get religious. Don't talk about that. We are the light of the world. Jesus said in Luke 10, whatever city you're in. What city? Whatever city. Heal the... What's sick? The heal the sick there and tell them it's because God's kingdom's here. How do we get away from that? How do we ever not get into that in the first place? You look how hungry them kids are to bump into God. But they had the humility, the inquisitiveness, the audacity to open that door and come into a class that wasn't even theirs when they should have been in their cars, driving home, heading out, school's out, do whatever they do when school's out, hook up with their girl, hook up with their guy, fill the room. There was no standing room. There was no room. Guess what time we left that schoolroom? 5:10. School ended at 3. That's when you know it's God. We prayed for so many people. Kids were crying. I had everybody helping me. I had this guy with a big old dude with a football shirt on. He's praying. He's bawling. Kids are going, oh my, what? Come on, you big old tackle. He's crying.
Lord Jesus.
Big old lineman.
So good.
Amen. Come on, guys, we can live that way. Go after that. We got to think that way. We got to pray that way. We got to keep our hearts open. Now, the thing I preached the last two services, if we don't start pursuing love, walking in love, you know what will happen? I'm not being mean. I'm just being real. You'll get issues in your life. You'll have reasons why you get distracted. You won't even see the people around you because you've got so many other concerns and you're just trying to get through your day. And all of a sudden, you're so busy trying to make it that you don't even realize the opportunity all around you to love. When you get self-concerned, when you get self-focused, you don't see nothing else. Are you with me? It's a trap. So I'm just encouraging you guys, man. Take some faith risks. Step out and put yourself in a position for God to move. Ask somebody how they're doing. You see somebody in visual pain, you can tell they're hurting and you can't even pinpoint where it is and why they're hurting. You just see they're hurting. You just say, hey, man, are you okay? Do you need help carrying that to your car? No, no, I'm fine. I do it all the time. Okay. Just want to help. Well, thanks. I appreciate it a lot. Well, listen, man, I don't want you to be a pest. I'm not trying to be nosy. I have a reason for asking, actually. What's going on in your body? You look like you're in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. I wouldn't wish this on nobody, man. Well, what's going on? They'll tell you. Most people will tell you. They'll tell you the whole story from the beginning. They will. I stood in so many grocery lines, and I'm like, God, do you just do this stuff on purpose? Like, I'll be standing there, somebody will turn around and just start telling me the biggest dilemma in their life. They'll just tell me just how sick they are, just how scared they are, just how... And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? I know why they do it. The Lord makes a draw in their heart because there's an answer inside of me. It makes a draw. The anointing makes a draw on their need. Are you with me? And not even solicited by me. I'm like,
how you doing, man?
I mean, I would do that.
Hey, man.
But they're like, man, this line's long, ain't it? Yeah. Man, I wish I could get out of here. I'd love to get off my feet. Man, I hurt my back 2 weeks ago at work. I don't even know what to do, man. I'm a workman's comp. I'm standing here. It's killing me. You serious right now? It's killing you? Yeah, man. Your hurt's bad. Well, listen. Now, you got yourself in a jam, and now you can't say no. This is what we're talking about. Well, I'm a Christian. The Spirit of God's in me, and I have compassion for people. And now that you told me that, you can't say no and not let me try to do something about it. I want to pray for you. Let's believe God changes it right now. This minute, right now, let's believe God takes the pain. I go, well, no, man, don't worry. I ain't going to make no scene. I ain't going to cartwheel and shout. And, you know, oh, wow. I'm just going to pray. I can stand here right now like this and think people just think we're talking and not anymore. No way, no, we pray, Father. I just thank you right now. So I ain't waiting for him to say yes. Because he don't understand what he's saying yes to anyway. So, Father, right now, I've done this so many times. Father, I thank you right now. You love this man so much, Spirit of God, come. Pain, you leave his back in the authority of Jesus, right? Every trace of you come out of him. And if I pray like that, he's standing there going, what the? I've seen it a lot. I haven't always seen it leave, but I keep praying for people. I haven't always seen it leave. There's times I'll say, no, it still hurts. And in your mind, you're like, no way, you've got to be kidding. That thing's got to go. Jesus is king. Let's just pray again. Father, would you let me pray again? After about three times, and I start feeling a little frustrated, I take a deep breath so I don't get into works. And then I tell them, look, I'm so excited that we got to pray, and I'm just really, truly believing in my heart. Because you want everybody healed. And then when you pray, you see somebody in pain, you just want them to go, wow. You want them to know Jesus. You want to see their eyes filled with tears and their heart filled with joy. I mean, I've been in parking lots. I remember this one lady. We were coming in a restaurant. They were coming out. I said, hey, girls. I said, the food good? Are we coming to the right place? Oh, yeah, you want to order this. They were just having fun. They were social. I was up in New York, and they were talking. I said, awesome. I said, hey. I said, what's going on with you? You're really favoring your left side. I don't know how many people said, wow, you're really nosy. Now, she didn't say that to me. She was like, wow, what made you notice that? How come you're looking at it? I said, oh, honey, I see that stuff all the time. I notice it all the time. She said, why would you notice that? I said, because I feel like I have an answer for that. Jesus lives inside of me, and I want to pray for you. He's teaching me to step out and pray and believe, and he'll show up. And the other lady's like, oh, cuckoo. She's just headed to the car. She's like, oh. And I got the lady pinned. She can't walk fast. Don't even try to run from me. I'll catch you. You ain't not getting away. Don't even run. I'll cut you off and get in front of you. And I just have fun with it. I make it lighthearted. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't you try to follow her. I'll chase you. I'll catch you. You're going to be easy to catch. You ain't moving. And they're like, well, no, look, we just want to go. We're not religious. No, neither am I. Have a relationship with Jesus, and he loves you, and he wants to reveal his love for you. Honey, listen to this. I would be an absolute idiot, an absolute fool, if I didn't think what I was saying was possible, and I'm asking to pray, knowing nothing's going to happen. Why would I even put myself in that position? Don't think I haven't seen this before. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. But a few minutes, and if we keep talking, it'll be more. That's how I talk to people. So let's just pray and see what happens. And if nothing happens, you have what you had before we prayed. You got nothing to lose. But if it changes, wow. She's like, you're really serious. I'm serious. The lady's in the car waiting. I'm thinking she's about ready to blow the horn. Because you can tell she was agitated. Like, I can't believe she didn't get away from him. I can't believe he's pinning her down like this. She has no idea the love I have for them. I took her hand and we prayed, and God totally healed her. She's weeping in the lot, and she's yelling at her friend, and her friend doesn't realize it. And then she looks back, she gets out of the car, and says, no way, don't even try to tell me. Don't tell me that. She says, no, you got to look at this. She's like doing this crazy stuff. And her friend's like, and I said, honey, listen, you walked away because you didn't understand. The Bible says men will mock and scoff, but they don't understand. Come on, don't be ashamed of that. You didn't know. But now look, what are you going to do with this? Listen, Jesus lives inside of me. He changed my life a bunch of years ago. I'm just going in to eat. And I noticed that. And the reason I noticed it, because I have an answer for it, I believe. And if I don't step out, I'll never see it. That's all that happened today. I'm just a Christian. Man, I hope you all get to know Jesus. If you want to ask him in your heart, you want to pray, and you want to give your life to him, I'll talk to you about that right now. Because it's a total surrender. And I said, da, da, da. Or I'll just, you know, whatever. And they'll say, no, we're good. We're just overwhelmed. And I said, okay. You know, I don't push the gospel down people's throat. I'm not trying to get a head nod. I'm just sowing seed. He said, well, you're supposed to lead them to the Lord. Stop it, religious spirit. I gave them the Lord. I don't have to lead them to the Lord. I gave them the Lord. See, we're so driven to make our goal their name in the book of life, we don't even realize our goal is their transformation and true salvation.
Amen.
We're driven to get their name in the book of life. We think that's all we talk about all the time, so it sounds Christian. But you're just trying to get a head nod sometimes. Do you know I've known of people that pray that prayer just to get away from you? They pray that prayer with you, you ask them to water baptize. You teach them water baptism, try to take them to water and see if they'll go. Because if they're born again and they were sincere, they will run to water. The eunuch said, look, water, what forbids me that I should be baptized? You say, hey man, listen, we got to get water baptized. It's next on the list. I'll talk to you about it. Well, yeah, listen, man. I'll pursue that. I'll catch you later, though. I gotta go. I'll do that sometime. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Well, preach the gospel. You're not trying to get a head nod. You preach the gospel. Yeah?
Yeah.
You all good?
Yeah.
Okay, just cheering you on. This is the life we're called to live. We're created to live. Now look, you won't be confident to live this life. You won't be confident to pursue these things if you don't see yourself the way God sees you. I talked about it a little bit. I scratched on it this weekend just a little bit, but now I'm going to pound it, okay? God sees you through His Son. He doesn't see you for sin. He sees you for righteousness. He sees you for pure and holy and blameless. I'm going to show you Scripture. It's absolutely undeniable in the Word. We have to make sure we don't lord our human experience over His Word. We so evaluate our lives. We so see how we live. So we say, well, you know, nobody. We think this is humble spiritual talk. Well, you know, nobody's perfect, brother. We're always sinning. It's amazing God loves us and forgives us. I mean, you know, we always got sin. I mean, probably, we don't even know it. We're probably sinning right now. Did you ever hear people talk like that? I'm like, you want to get born again? Oh, come on, brother. Stop being self-righteous. We all sin. What are you saying? You never sin? Nah, that ain't what I'm saying, but I promise you I ain't sinning while I'm breathing. Oh, that's self-righteous, brother. We all are sinning all the time. I hear it. People think it's humility. No, you're actually saying you have no idea of the Word. You don't understand the Word at all. And you're letting your identity be wrapped around your ability to fail, and deep in your heart you believe you're a failure. You're wrapping your identity around your ability to commit sin, and deep in your heart you're a sinner. He didn't write to the sinners of Ephesus, to the sinners of Colossae, to the sinners of Philippi. He wrote to the saints. That's a holy, sanctified person set apart with a holy calling. He didn't write to those who are about to miss at any moment and call on the blood. He called them saints. Why? Because He wants you to start seeing what He sees when He looks at you. There's such a sin consciousness in the church that God wants to get rid of. We think it's humility to boast in our ability to miss it as if that exalts God, when He told you to come up hither to set your mind on to live where He's at. He told you to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. How can you stay conscious of sin while you're reckoned dead to it? How can you reckon yourself dead to sin and boast in your ability to commit it? It's a false humility. You've taken on an identity that He never wants you to serve. Are you all with me? We're going to talk about it a little. I want to show you some scriptures. Go to Colossians chapter 1. That'll be good. I'm really close to it right now. I just want you to see. Is you guys okay? Listen, you waking up in the morning trying not to sin, that sounds like character. It sounds noble. It's total deception. If you wake up in the morning and try not to sin, you'll be so sin conscious, you'll be fault finding, you'll be nitpicky, and you'll judge yourself for what you're failing. You won't even realize you're growing and changing. Yeah? But if you wake up and present yourself to Him, you wake up in righteousness, you wake up a son, you wake up and believe you're washed and clean and free and holy, and you present yourself to Him that way, you begin to live what you believe. Are you with me? This is super, 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 super important. The reason that God made His Son to be sin, who knew no sin, was so you could be right in the sight of God. If we don't come out of this thing knowing we're right in the sight of God, we're going to miss the point of His Son becoming sin. He rules His kingdom with the scepter of righteousness. You bow before Him and give Him your life, and He dubs you and knights you righteous in His sight. Righteousness is the strength and power of this gospel. The fact that God sees wrong things right and makes wrong things right is the power behind this gospel through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't miss that. 1 Peter 2 says, He bore your sin and my sin in His body on a tree. Where's your and my sin? His body on a tree. Why? That purpose, that we, having died to sin, Nobody ever taught me this in my life. They just told me I'm always going to sin. Be glad he forgives you and make sure you stay in church because you don't want to be not in church when he comes. That's what I was told my whole life. You're a sinner. You ought to be glad he forgives you. You ought to see his great love in the cross and make sure you come to church, boy. Why ain't you been to church? Where you been? How come you ain't in church? That's my whole life. It was all about church attendance instead of understanding righteousness and living free and being transformed and walking in the Spirit and walking in love. What they taught me left me a forgiven sinner that was confused and couldn't see the love of God in it. I had way more questions than I had answers, so the goodness of God never changed my life. And you don't love God first. You see that He first loved you. I had no revelation in that message. So if you don't see God's first love, you'll feel indebted to Him because of the story and the cross and the movie you watched at Easter, and you'll get reduced to serving Him instead of the privilege of knowing Him. Because you'll feel like you owe Him. And then you won't fulfill what you owe, and you'll feel like you're failing. And you won't even believe you're a good servant, let alone a good son. Are you with me? You know what happens then? You'll think lower of yourself and you'll live up to the low level, and then your actions will confirm your fears and you'll be deceived and live in torment because your heart cares the whole time. Did you ever think about this? You can't condemn a person if they don't care. Condemnation is a sign that your heart has life in it and purity in it. And the way you're assessing it, and the way you're seeing yourself, and the way you're judging yourself is condemning you. It's a perverse form. It's from hell. It's never from God. But if somebody didn't care, you could not rest condemnation on them. Come on, you need to hear this stuff, because people live in condemnation. They live in guilt and shame. You couldn't put those things on somebody that wasn't alive inside. Those things wouldn't work for somebody that didn't care. That's important. I've had countless people in my life come to me. I know you have. They open themselves up to you and say, "We need to talk. I need to confess something to you, man. I just think I need prayer. I'm just so ashamed. Can we get in a private room?" "Yeah. What's going on?" "I just swore I'd never do this again. I've been saved for 2 whole years. I've been doing good. And 3 days ago, I..." You ever see that? Yeah, a little bit. You know what I do? I start getting happy on the inside. Not because they sin. We'll deal with that in a minute. Because I see how broken they are and I see how pure they are on the inside. And almost always, always, almost in repetition, when they talk to me like that, and they're broken and they're crying and they're choking on their tears trying to tell me the sin, and now they're so ashamed and they're standing there and they're crying, and I say, "Man, first of all, I just want to tell you I'm so excited about how Jesus is working in your heart and how pure your heart's becoming Him." And they usually always go, "Pure? Pure? What do you mean pure? Did you hear what I just said I did?" "Oh, I heard what you said you did. We'll talk about it in a minute, but I see who you are. And if you start thinking what you did is who you are, you'll miss what you're becoming by a million miles, and this thing will get worse. But if you see what you're becoming and how much you care and how broken you are on the inside, we can fix this thing up quickly." That's called a good pastor. It's called walking in truth. It's called truth making people free. It's called the goodness of God leading men to repentance. If you pastor like this, they tell you, you say, "You did what? You kidding? Oh my goodness. Do you realize the hypocrisy of it? Do you realize the statement that would make to the other? Do you know that people realize you in 2 years and now they find out, girl, you cannot be doing it." You might as well dig a hole, put her in it, and cover her up. Come on. I remember, who knows my buddy Todd? Todd White. Who knows my buddy Todd? I remember the first time Todd called me and confessed to me he was using after he was baptized in water. He started crying. He couldn't even hardly tell me.
See there, man.
I said, what's going on, bud? You all right?
No.
What's going on?
Did it, man.
You did what?
I used, man. I used last night. I was using.
Okay.
Man, I feel so bad. It's a failure. Jackie's going to be so mad.
I said, okay.
So I just feel like...
You don't feel like I disappointed you. You feel like I disappointed... So let me ask you a question, man. When's the last time you cried and felt bad because you used?
Never!
Yeah. You were always scheming how you were going to use again. You already had a master plan in your mind how you were going to cheat, lie, and steal to get high the next time before you even got off the first time. And now you're broken, calling me repentant. And you feel terrible inside, don't you?
I feel terrible, man.
I said, that's because you're changing. And it ain't long till you're totally free, man. Let me tell you who you are and what's happening in your life.
Oh, dude, I love you.
That's your beat. You did what? You cannot be doing that, man, and coming to this church and acting like you're saved and singing loud and... Well, I'll tell you what, we'll put the silent thing on you, man. I don't want no singing. If I see you even lip syncing until this gets straight in your life. You got stumbled, but I don't ever want you to come back to this church to get this matter straight. I'll put you in spiritual quarantine. I'm not that far off. Some ministries are like this. I think he turned out pretty good myself. Proud of him. Not everybody agrees. They don't know him. They just judge a lot. Pretty awesome when somebody takes the initiative to call you and tell you they missed it and they're crying on the phone before they even talk. That's a sign to me their heart's being changed. They're being pursued by the gospel. Holy Spirit is well at work in the heart of man. Yeah? Okay. So, 1 Peter 2, equal our sin, his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes we're healed. So we die to sin. That means it's identity, it's stain, it's sting, it's memory, it's impulse, it's desire. We say, man, I am not here to live in the flesh. I am not here to sin and walk as a carnal man. I'm here to live by the Spirit. So temptations come and impulses come. Here's what a lot of people think. They think temptation is sin. They think because they're tempted by something, Jesus was tempted at all points, yet without sin. He's not... That doesn't mean he's sitting there grilling one of the women that's ministering to him thinking, man, she's hot. I'm not talking, that's not what he's... No, but he had the opportunity to do that as a man. He just never gave himself to that. Are you following me? Yeah? Yeah. Some people think because they had the thought. They think because a lady walks by and they've been trained in life and they've had a past and they've been, you know... a womanizer in the past or whatever, or just looking at women, you know. I remember, man, I'm just going to be straight with you. I remember being a school kid. I was high elementary school, and I remember looking at my teachers, man, thinking, my teacher is hot. My teacher. Why? Because you're trained that way from little, and that's where your eyes are. But don't think that you can't see something like that, notice something like that. It's like, come on. It's what you do with it when you see it. It's how you camp there or don't camp there. It's how you respond in that moment, or you're going to be afraid to even live. Temptation is not sin. What you do with it decides what it is. It says God doesn't tempt any man. He's tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and desires. As soon as temptation comes, what do? Man, I thank you that's no longer who I am. There's nothing there for me, God. I thank you you've changed my life forever. I thank you you've restored me. I remember I had just gotten saved. And I wasn't going to do some legalistic thing like I got to live with planks over my eyes. But I'm pumping gas, and this blonde-headed girl was just barely breaking the top of the pump on the other side. And this thought, it's the last thing on my mind. It's like, where did that come from? I am so excited in the Lord. I'm happy in Jesus. I'm in love. I'm like, yay. And I look, and this thought says, that's a really good-looking girl. You need to see her. And I'm like, what? You're almost like, what?
No.
Just kidding. I said, God, I just thank you. You just said, and this little thought said, come on, it ain't wrong to look. It ain't wrong to look. And I'm like, what? So because of that, I determined I wasn't going to look, because as soon as you look, your mind goes, ah, see, you had to look. And I settled in my heart, there's nothing there for me in the flesh. I'm not a man of the flesh. So I was like, God, I just thank you, you transformed my life forever. I just thank you, God, that I'm pure in your sight. God, you put such a new thing in my heart. Man, there was a time I looked at women and checked people out and gauged them and sized them up. God, I thank you that I'm so free. Ba, 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 ba. And I'm praying. She ended up in her car and she drove away. And I'm like, what a petty thing. What a weird temptation. And I got in my truck and I was pulling out. And I began to pray over my wife, bless my marriage, just minister to God and thank God for what he's done in my heart, done in my life. Man, by the time I got home in my driveway, I felt so close to God, so empowered by the Spirit, so clean and holy and pure, and it started with a temptation. I was in a service one time, and I had a microphone in my hand, and I was supposed to teach on the gifts of the Spirit, and I was supposed to teach in a ministry school. And I was standing there, and the worship was just a little prelude thing, but they weren't like, well, we'll just do, you know, two songs and out, we got to get you to teach. When they were worshiping, they were really loving the Lord. They weren't just doing their gig, right? You guys get that? You guys get that? They were like, phew, and it blew up. It was like, uh-oh, Jesus is here. And there was a time slot, school had a time frame, forget time frame, Jesus is here. Amen. And all of a sudden, like, people were messed up. I mean, it was a holy thing. You were afraid to talk. Like, you didn't want to turn on the mic and try to transition. You were like, I'm just standing here till I get direction because it don't even feel right to speak right now. You open your eye, and the little keyboard lady is, she's standing there. You don't even know how she's playing. The guitar guy even playing. When the guitar guy lays his guitar down, it's the Lord. He lays his guitar down. And I'm just having fun. The drummers are sitting there. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And it was like, Jesus. While that's happening, it was so awesome and so obvious. The Lord was there. And everybody's like, in the same, but just hush, there's weeping, there's kneeling, people are crawling up on the floor. It's like, wow, God, just do it. Right when that's happening, I was never addicted to pornography. I never gave myself to a lot of pornography. I was just, it was always around. It's always around. It's at your workplace where I work. It's always sprawled out and laid on the desk. I mean, you can just walk by and grab and select your magazine if you wanted to. But there was a video that, for some silly reason before Jesus, that I had watched, and it was so long before, it was years before. The last thing on my mind, people, the last thing on my mind is that silly porn video. So it's the last thing I want to see. I'm not even. Watch. Opportune time. I'm standing there with the mic. Jesus, you're amazing. God, you're so good. I don't even want to talk. I got my mic off. The video starts going right through my head. Out of the blue, in that atmosphere. Now that's hardball right there. Because you know what the devil's saying? He's going to internalize this. He's going to feel defiled. He's going to believe he's sinning. And he ain't going to have faith to minister. He's going to be repenting for something that's not in his heart just because it went through his mind. The last thing I want to see, Pastor, is that video. My heart knows that. And because my heart knows that, I know he knows that. So I trust myself to him who judges righteously. There ain't an ounce of sin in me in what's happening right now. It's a blast from the past. It's a familiar spirit. It's not even recollection. It's not memory. It's a familiar spirit. He's pulling it out of the files of my past and he's running that thing through. I don't know how that works, but it's a strange thing. But it was like I was seeing it like yesterday. And I'm standing there. You know what the devil wants me to do? He wants me to get insecure. He wants me to turn to the altar and start to cry and feel defiled and start saying, God, I'm so sorry. You know, and a pastor, you hear a pastor when you're a kid growing up, if the thoughts of your mind would be put on that board, how would that be? Well, what we don't understand when we're preaching that, not everything that runs through your mind is coming from your heart. The things that bother you are never you. Who ever thought things they wish they weren't thinking? Be honest. Who's ever thought things they wish they weren't thinking? Now be real honest. And after you thought it, you felt bad for thinking it. See, that's the trap. Don't ever do that again. That's why it's coming. You wish you weren't thinking it. Now you feel bad for thinking it. You didn't conjure it. Guess what I did? It was no atmosphere for this. But you just picked a fight. I fight the good fight of faith. I promise you, I'm a warrior. I love people. The only reason I love you is because you ain't the devil. Yeah. You sure ain't the devil. You're a good girl. I like you so much. I'm standing there and this video's going through my head. You don't touch me like that. I will freak out. And I ain't going to yell, I bind you down, I curse your power, I command you to go back to hell when you go. That ain't what I do. Father, I thank you that you love me and you changed me forever and you put a new thing in my life. And God, I thank you that you made me pure in your sight. God, I thank you that there's not one thing about my past that has anything to do about my present. You have transformed me, you live in me, you have changed me forever. And I go ballistic. The people are all there, and I'm the pastor, and they love me and respect me, and they're all like, ooh, that ain't the atmosphere right now. But they told me about it later. They said I scared them. I shocked them. I was like, they were like, whoa. And they're all looking, thinking, whoa, he's in a different realm than we're feeling right now. I wonder why he's freaking like that. I wonder what he heard in the Lord. Maybe we're all supposed to be making declarations. So then the whole church started, Lord, understand you and thank you. Top of my lungs. I turned. By that time, I'm like, I'm supposed to teach. Forget transition. We already somewhere else. Watch what happened. It's a ministry school. You're supposed to demonstrate a little bit. I don't do it when I minister and preach and travel anymore, because you know what people do? People that move in giftings, they make heroes and they make the meter of their needs. And we've taken anointed people and put them on a platform to minister to everybody instead of reproduce Christ in everybody. We go to the prophet because we want a word, not to learn how to walk in the grace of prophecy. This video came, Jay. You shouldn't have did that. Holy Ghost taught me way better than to ever be condemned or take personal or think it was me when it wasn't in my heart. So I'm standing there, I'm so revved up, I'm so aware of salvation and redemption. I'm like, oh, my Holy Ghost hackles are up, man. And I said, man, I said, God, it's amazing. Jesus, Lord, and they're all like, what is happening to Pastor? He's freaking out. And everybody was like, they didn't know what was going on. They were doing their little confessions. They were trying to follow along. And I said, sir, yes, you. He's like, me? I said, yeah. I said, I know I don't know you. You visited or something. He said, yeah. I said, there's a herniated disc. It's almost in the center of your back. I said, there's heat coming in you right now. You feel it? He said, yeah. I said, you have no herniated disc from this moment. You're completely healed. And I came over and I said, ma'am, the inside of your ankle, there's a growth. You're not sure what it is. You're nervous about it. You can feel it. It's about the size of a big marble or an egg, large acorn. Check your ankle. You'll see it's not there. Father, I thank you. And I reach out and speak. And God starts, boom, bam, bam. People are going, what's going on? I'm having the time of my life. And then I got to teach on gifting, right? The watch. I don't think any of that would have happened if it wasn't for the video. We're afraid of the video. I'm afraid to not believe in righteousness. We're afraid of bad thoughts. I'm afraid to not believe in truth. When Satan came with the intention to break me in, he actually empowered me and made me in.
Yes.
And springboarded me to higher truth. And the anointing responded and said, I'll tell you what, we'll just let everybody reap the fruit of this moment.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realized, if I live in this place, it accelerates everything. Satan's trying to take away my sensitivity to the Spirit and the truth, put a veil back over my face now that I'm unveiled. And he has strategies set to do that. But I learned something that night. His risk is big. Because what he's trying to break me in, he's running the risk of making me in. And because he comes, if I believe, I'll see even more. But if I believe his lie, it's crash and burn time. He's willing to take the risk because he doesn't have other options. So he's trusting you'll believe him, the feelings, the memory, and the recollection instead of the truth. Now you be honest with me. How many countless hours have we spent praying for each other because of memories, flashbacks, dreams, impressions? When it isn't, it's not a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. And it's a communion relationship issue. How many young Christian women that have been purified by the gospel have been driving to work, laying on their bed, and had a flashback of the day they knew they never would, but they did. And all of a sudden that same old feeling tries to come upon them, and that thing replays as if it's happening right now, and they get tempted to feel defiled or distant from the Lord. That has crushed so many good people because they believe the impression instead of writing the impression. Father, I thank you. You've changed my life forever. I thank you. I'm a pure woman of God. You put a new thing inside my heart. I thank you. The old person is dead and there's a new person alive. I am not the woman I used to be. I am a woman of God. That thing goes... Sure beats getting grayed out, depressed, and calling for prayer. Sure beats spinning, cycling, backsliding, and repeat performance because you believe it's still you. It sure beats repenting for something that's not in your heart. Yeah? Who's ever had that kind of trash just pop in on you out of the blue? Who's ever been shocked by your mind sometimes? Who's ever been thrown by your memory? Who's ever been like, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Hell. And that's not where you live.
Amen.
You cast down every thought, every imagination that rises above the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10. Why? It's the weapon of your warfare. It's mighty in the breaking down of wrong belief. Strongholds. You cast down every thought, every imagination that rises above the knowledge of God by bringing it into obedience according to Christ, holding it captive. Right?
Amen.
Every high and lofty thing, you cast it down, vain imaginations. How do you do it? In Christ. You see yourself in Christ. You hold it captive and bring it into obedience. You know what the enemy does? He sees your zeal and he says, oh, another one. Pumped up. Another one. Zealous. Easy target. You all ramped up. You leave the service with joy. That word was for me. Whoa. About a day later, memory, flashback. Something hit your mind, next thing you know,
man, I thought I was free. I thought it was over. I didn't think I'd be remembering this stuff anymore.
And you think because you thought it, it's still in you and you're not free. No, it's when you believe it and desire it and conjure it, meditate on it and want it, that your heart's in question. If it bothers you, it's not you.
Amen.
Don't you ever buy in and sell cheap, because you're not for sale.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm telling you, they're assignments. It's demonic. Satan calls a little imp and says, hey, go remind me of the past. Go speak this. Go say that. I'm telling you, if you really look at this thing, there's spirit-to-spirit communication. I'm trying to wake you out. We just shouldn't be unaware of this stuff and unaware of this device. There's spirits that have trapped children and people. There's things that made you afraid in your bedroom. Who ever saw images in your bedroom when you were a kid? Who ever saw dark shadows and silhouettes and hooded figures in your bedroom? I did all the time. It's a common thing. Raise your hands if you saw that stuff growing up and it was before your eyes. What's he doing? He's trying to imprint you, freak you out, get you afraid to be alone, get you somehow numb, desensitized, whatever. He's messing with you. And then down the road, those same spirits that know what you were afraid of and what you did and how you feared are flashing back and bringing your past to you and reminding you of things that freaked you out and made you afraid. And then we do association in psychology, and people say, oh, wow, you've never been set free. You still have that thing lingering in you. Cut me a break. That thing's a cut-off withering branch coming to nothing. It's outside trying to get back in, and as soon as you agree with it, it has access. Come on, man. We spent countless hours ministering to flashbacks, impressions, and dreams. We probably ought to spend more time ministering truth.
Amen.
I was 42 years old. I saw two people blind, only in one eye, in the same day, get their sight. It's a fun day. That's a really good day. The one was a 12-year-old little girl. And when everybody left, I stayed with all the lights out, cried. And I thank God for the momentum and what he was doing. I just want you more, and I'm just crying. It was just me and Jesus in a dark sanctuary. Oh, it was fun. I go down, and I'm ready to go out the back door. And Holy Spirit, not my mind. Oh, my keys. It wasn't like that. Holy Spirit said, hey, you're going to lock yourself out of the church. You ain't got your keys. Because when you go out, you can't get back in. And I chuckled. I said, wouldn't that have been something? Pastor, locked out of the church. No keys to this kingdom. My keys are up on the platform and I can't drive home. It's only a mile I'd have had to walk. No big deal. The Holy Spirit rescued me. It wasn't one of those, oh, my keys. I wasn't even thinking keys. I'm thinking blind eyes, Jesus, I love you. I'm walking. I get right to the door and I'm about out. He says, hey, don't go out. Close the door. You won't get in. Your keys are up. I said, oh, my goodness. I said it out loud. What would I do without you?
I'd be locked out of the church. That's what I'd do without you.
And I just talk to him freely like that. My coworkers used to say, you freak us out. You're always talking to yourself. I said, I have never talked to myself. Never. I'd be working, talking, and I'd look at somebody looking through the rack. I had co-workers come up and they said, man, it looks like you're brainwashed. I said, my brain is thoroughly washed. I go up to get my keys. When I was 9, my sister was born. Me and my brother had a bedroom that we shared. And when my sister was born, my dad didn't want to put her in this middle room right by their bedroom. He wanted more privacy than that because the doors were linked. They said, I'll tell you what, we got plenty of room in the attic. No carpet, creaky doors, squeaky wood floors, old 100-year row home. He said, I'll tell you what, we'll put her in their room so we have access to the little one. And the boys are big enough, we'll just put them upstairs. Well, we weren't happy about that. We didn't want to sleep in no attic. No heat came up there. It was a child abuse, really, like child services. No, I'm not playing. You remember the old brute? Who's been old enough to remember the old little green brute bottle? Had ice in my brute bottle. Was sitting by the window. In the brute bottle. My brother sleeping in an orange beanie. Breath coming out of our mouth. Not play. Summer meat falling off the bone. Cooking, man. I was a bedwetter for years. It was nasty. So I was a boy and I didn't care, and I'd pull back my sheets and let it dry all day, and then I'd crawl in there in a 100-degree attic. It was bad. It was child abuse. Put me up in that attic. We were mad. We were mad at our little sister. We had a hard time loving her because she kicked us out of our room. It wasn't good. But I would watch, stay up late and watch Twilight Zone, Tales of the Crypt. The camera on Tales of the Crypt, it would be following and going in these rooms, down these steps. And you knew it was coming. It's like, do, and it gets right to the box. You're like, oh, I knew it was coming. It would freak you out. And then you had to open the door. And you just watched Tales of the Crypt. You got to go up 14 wooden steps past a door, a closet, your bedroom. By the time you get to the top of the steps, you're still freaking out. You don't even know. You're like, freaking out. You're like... And you get to the first doorway there, and you're like... But you get to the closet. By the time you get to the closet, you run. You hit the light while you're dying. Sweeping up there. Freaked out. I'm 42 years old. I just saw two people blind get their sight. Pretty good day. Works of the devil are being destroyed. Lives are being redeemed. I'm pastoring. I'm calling people, praying. God's restoring. Lives, marriages, born again, baptisms. Woo-hoo! I come up to get my keys. I'm 42 years old. I open our little glass double doors between the sanctuary and wood frame. I always preach that the gospel taught me how not to fear. I've preached it my whole Christian life, and I don't even know how to fear. I just don't even fear. I can walk in the middle of the woods, in the middle of the night. Actually, I do it all the time because I'm hunting all by myself, and it doesn't even face me. I was just down in Mississippi hunting in the middle of nowhere. I found out later there was a real meth thing going on and stuff. I get way back. I'm in the middle of the woods in the dark in a field, and I'm predator hunting. I'm coyote hunting. I'm not trying to freak you out. I was predator hunting. It was a month ago. And I sit down, and I was ready to hunt, call, and I heard people talking 50 yards behind me in the woods. That stuff just don't freak me out. I ain't thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to see me. They're going to kill me. I'm going... You know, they're going to think I'm a threat to their thing. No, I played my caller and I hunted. I have covenant with God. I said, you said, well, you got to use wisdom. Well, what I believe or your fear. I'm not sure what you mean when you say you got to use wisdom. I think I do. Didn't call nothing in, but they didn't come and lynch me. Just don't think I have fear in my life. But I'll tell you what, when I opened that door that night, guess what it did? It flashed me back. I felt exactly like that 9, 10, 11 year old in that third floor attic room, and I'm 42. That's where ministers meaning well say, see, brother, you've never been healed of that. That thing is still in you all these years. We need to take you to that place. We need to pray. You need to cut me a break. I'm 42. Blind eyes are opening. People are getting saved and restored. A door creaks. I remember my yesterday, and you're telling me I've been in bondage all that time. Cut me a break. So guess what I did? I was seeking the Lord on this very topic because everybody's saying, we need to do this ministry. We need to bring this ministry to church. We need to do this. And I was a pastor. We need to do this. And I'm like, Lord, I'm just troubling with all this. I don't want to be obstinate, but something's bothering me. I need answers. I started to interview all these ministries. I started to interview ministers and people. I did a 5-year personal study on a lot of the things that are out there. And I didn't come to a total conclusion, but I did a big, long study. I was just kind of neutral. That night, I made sure I didn't turn on the light because my first instinct was as a child to flip on that light. So I said, we ain't flipping on the light. There's light in me. So I just walked to the altar and I started singing a song about Jesus and his blood. It just came out of my heart. ain't the best singer, but I think it sounded good. I get up there, sure enough, Holy Ghost was right. Imagine that. There was my keys. Picked them up, and when I turned, not trying to freak you out, it's my experience. For a second, I saw two silhouettes hovering right here. Black little things right here, just hovering. And as soon as I saw them, I couldn't see them. Boom! And the Lord said, "See, Dan? They're outside, trying to get in. Don't you ever surrender to feelings, impressions, flashbacks, and dreams. The moment you call a friend and say, 'Could you pray for me? I had a thing of fear in my life tonight,' you set the platform to them to land and abide again. You are not for sale. Don't you let an experience sell you cheap. Keep on believing my word." Amen. And I was like, ah! I
walked right into that thing, man.
I did. I went right through the hall. Singing, lights are all out. I know the church, we had a hot tub in there we baptized in, so I'd always get these urges to pray at 2, 3 in the morning. "Honey, I'm going to go over to church and pray." I'd get right in the hot tub, man. I'd sit there, "Father, I just thank you." A whole hour, man, 3 in the morning, sit right in that hot tub. It's easy to give thanks at 3 in the morning in that hot tub. I get down the hall, I'm heading to the door. Right when I got to the door, the punchline of the song filled my heart. And it was, "Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord." And when I got to the door, I said, "Jesus is Lord." I turned and I actually felt like there was someone still there. I said, "Jesus is Lord. Jesus." And you think I'm a little wound up or a little sketchy sometimes? No. No, you haven't seen me when I'm alone. I'm very sound mind when I'm around you. I'm supposed to teach and make sense and impart. And for me to stand up here and just do this wouldn't do you much good. But if I'm besides myself, it's for the Lord. Yeah. You say, "Were you Pentecostal charismatic?" Probably that night I was guilty. I shouted in that hall, "Jesus is Lord." I can't even tell you. Just like God gives you a little glimmer, a tiny little sliver of a one umpteenth of what he must live in. And it's almost more than you can bear. And you're like, "Yeah." And you're in the hall, and I started dancing and jumping and shouting and praying. I was bouncing off the walls. I'm not kidding you. I was out to the bathrooms and I was freaking out and I just did this dance before the Lord and was just screaming at the top of my lungs. And I went on out of my car and drove home. "Hi, honey." I was myself. Ain't nobody saw that. What was happening? My 5-year study got answered. And the Lord said, "Hey, you had an impression, an experience, a memory, and a flashback. Why would you let that become you? When I live in you and I'm changing people's lives." Amen. He was literally showing me that night, if I'd have called Jay, said, "Jay, what's up, Dan? You okay?" "Well, man, I want to tell you, yeah, but I had the crazy experience, man. I went through the door and I had this flashback, man, like this fear that came all over me, like when I was a kid. I just called you, man. I don't want fear in my life. I just felt like I wanted to call you for prayer. I feel like I got some fear somewhere in my life. I want it." He'll show me as soon as I do that, I'm partnering with the experience. And I'm letting the experience speak louder than truth, and I was already free. You with me? How many times with good intention have we prayed for people because of their experience? And we've said their experience is who they are. Don't do that to each other. You're compromising their identity. And you won't find freedom in that arena. At best, they'll get surface peace, but if you don't change what they believe, that thing will come back on. Are you with me? I don't know how I get on this stuff. Are we okay? I feel like I'm messing up. Bad. Yeah. I can't go where I was going to go. I went where I went. I'm going to read this and then We'll see what we need to do and we'll be done. Because we probably got a curfew again, don't we? You cut me 15 minutes? You cut me, didn't you? 15 minutes. Cut me back. All right. You got me trained last night. Maybe you showed me grace last night. Cut me tonight, man. 9:45. We can do it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we can do it. We can do it. We're going to do it. Shoo, I had to wash that window, man. It was getting hazy. Shoo. Verse 21, Colossians 1, this is rich. And you, who? And you, who?
You.
And you. Man, you better take this gospel personal. Come on, we'd be good at taking everything else personal. Might as well take him personal. Might as well take what he said and what he did and what he accomplished personal. We've taken everything else personal. And you, talking to you, he's talking to me, who were once alienated, estranged, totally separated, man, on another planet, living in a whole nother realm. Alienated. Aliens. Right? You were alienated and enemies. Is it up there?
Yes.
I thought you guys was all looking over me. I'm so innocent and ignorant one time, man. Years ago, people were doing that. And some guy just told me about this angel. He said, this blue angel. Did anybody try that? I said, yeah, actually, somebody told me before, but I don't, you know, hey, if these areas there, I believe there's angels and stuff, but I just don't get caught up in that stuff, man. But I don't know why you saw it. Thanks for sharing it. I'm not upset you shared it. But no. So then that next service, I'm preaching, and everybody's looking over my head. And I thought, oh my goodness, what they're all seeing. This is amazing. I thank God, dude. And I'm like, and I'm preaching, and I'm looking at them, and nobody's looking at me. They're all looking over me. So I'm preaching, and I went, oh man! I thought I was going to look back and see this big old winged dude, man, with a massive sword. No, it was the overhead. I was like, what? And you who were alienated and an enemy, whew, an enemy in your mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled. Okay, by wicked works. We think that's always murder and adultery and rape and the biggest crimes we can call out. Of course it's on the list, but wicked works is self-thinking. It's like, watch. If you love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. That's strong scripture. He says, if you love the world, he who loves the world makes himself an enemy, enmity to God. And then he clarifies it. For the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life. He said, if that's in your life, there's no way the love of the Father is there at the same time. And yet we're called to be the love of the Father on the earth. So it'll never happen if those things are in our life. Watch. You were once alienated an enemy because the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of your life used to be relevant and prominent in you. That's all he's saying. The way your mind worked was self-centered, self-focused, all about you. Yeah? And it separated you from him and who he is and who he called you to be. Yet now he has made friends with, reconciled, made peace with, brought two together to be one. He reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Why? Comma. To present you. Woo! This is what he did, guys. He took you from the alienated place that functioned as an enemy contrary to God, and through the body of his flesh, he reconciled you back to God. God not imputing your trespasses to you, and to present And he goes holy, blameless, and above reproach.
It's scriptural. Watch this. It is not humility to fight that. It's pride. Pride resists. Humility receives.
To present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Now watch. Next verse, please. Since you're on this thing, man. Next verse, if you can. When you get there, it'll still be there. That's what's awesome about the Word. It never changes. Did you ever notice, no matter what you're going through and how you feel, it says the same?
No.
Then why do we change so much? Because we don't keep our eyes on that thing. We keep our eyes on other things. And we let the moment speak louder than the truth. And that's a problem, because the truth is what sets you free. Yeah? Cool, that's just good straight up. Just boom. To present you what? Watch. Condition. Condition. If indeed you continue believing that. Continue in the faith. Continue believing that. Grounded and steadfast in that. That he sees you that way through his son. Wake up that way. Go to bed that way. Live that way. Walk through life and might even stumble. Never run from him. Run right to him. God, I thank you for the increase in my life and making me so aware of what is and isn't. God, there was a time in my life I did that and wouldn't even have saw it. Man, now I see it. It's not who I ever want to be. It's not who you are in me. Thanks for loving me, washing me. God, I love you so much. All of a sudden you're wiser, sharper, and smarter than you were before you stumbled. Why? Because you ran to him. Let mercy triumph over judgment. Yeah?
Yes.
If indeed you, it's not a prayer request, it's not an altar call. It's not pray for me, brother. If indeed you continue believing this, are steadfast and grounded in this, and are not moved away from this hope of the gospel which you heard. What hope? That I've been made clean in his sight. That he sees me as if I've never sinned. That he's made me righteous before him, so that I can live as a son without shame. Whew. Do you know how much this is not preached around the world? Do you know how much we boast in sin and our ability to commit it as if it's humility? He wants you to preach holy, blameless, and above reproach. Because if you wake up that way, your life will start looking like that. Romans 6, if you give yourself to righteousness, the fruit of righteousness is holiness. All of a sudden, you're living in holiness without biting your lip trying to be holy. What you believe is producing fruit. He says, don't you know that which you present yourself a slave to obey, you'll be that one slave whom you obey? If you present yourself as lawlessness, as unrighteousness, as sin leading to more sin, what a shame. Wake up every day and present yourself to righteousness. Yeah, as being right with God. I'm just paraphrasing in a nutshell what he says. Watch this. Which was preached. Now here's the deal. Now I'm not putting this on Pastor Jay or this house. I'm just talking at large, body of Christ. We're not moved away from the hope of the gospel in which you heard. A lot of us never even heard this hope. I never heard this hope growing up. I heard this hope when I read my Bible in my bedroom and the Holy Spirit showed it to me. I had never had no preacher tell me what I'm telling you tonight. Never in my life. I never had this hope preached to me. Which was preached to every creature under heaven and which I, Paul, became a minister. See, every creature under heaven, I'm so glad that's in there. Because Holy Spirit said, hey, I'll make sure he heard it because he's never heard it before. I'll give him a chance to believe it. And indeed, hold on. Grounded in setbacks. Now, you don't know my life. You just see me this weekend or on YouTube. But I know my life. I was driving one day years ago and the Lord said, hey, do you know why you live the way you do? And I said, actually, I wasn't driving when he asked me that question. That was actually a crazy situation where he wrecked me in a service and I didn't even know what to do. And I went through a box and a half of Kleenexes and I was supposed to be preaching. And while I was laying there, he was loving on me. It was ridiculous. I didn't even know I was going to make it through the experience. And he said, do you know why you live the way you did? And I was like, because you're awesome, you're merciful, you're loving, you're kind. I gave him the right answer. It was like he chuckled and said, that ain't the answer I'm looking for. I'm like, Lord, it's the only answer. Your grace is sufficient for me. I don't have another answer. It's you. I live this way because of you. He said, no, it's not the answer I'm looking for. He said, everything you're saying about me is true, but it needs a place to land in a person's life. If I preach God's merciful, I'm always right, ain't I? But mercy needs to be received. It's one thing if I say, God loves you guys, man. Right here in the front, I still have a special attraction to your hearts. Like God's telling me in the front row, God loves you. Who knows I'm always right when I say God loves you? There's a difference between me saying God loves you and you being loved by God. A big difference. There's a difference between me saying God's merciful and you receiving His mercy. So he said, do you know why you live the way you do? I said, because you're amazing. Your mercy, your grace is sufficient. He chuckled and said, that's not the answer. I'm looking for. Lord, that's the only answer. He said, no, you're answering right. I'm the one that empowers you, da-da-da. But these things you're telling me and worshiping me in need a place to land in your life. He said, let me tell you why you live the way you do. And I'm just listening. I was already a wreck. I went through so many Kleenexes. It was ridiculous. I'm not joking. A lady lifted my arm. I saw her fingers. I knew it was a lady. She lifted my arm and slid another box of Kleenexes into my arm because I was out. I had them laying everywhere. I was a mess during worship. He started breathing on me and cooing on me. And I'm like, not now. You can't do this now. He's like, done. You're saying stuff like, I love you. Really proud of you. I love that you're my son. Somebody prophesies that over you, it'll make you cry. You let God breathe on you and tell you that. It's almost more, it's too good to bear. You feel like you're gonna die because it's too good. He said, let me tell you why you live the way you do. On the night you got saved, watch, on the night you got saved, you were sin conscious for a moment and saw your need for me. But ever since that moment, you have been a son in your heart. That's powerful. I've never let that change. You can't talk me out of sonship and how he sees me. A thing that was up there is always true. And it's always true in me if indeed I keep believing. Don't let nothing change my mind. Will you tell me you walk perfect, Susan? No, I've grown. I've been equipped, I've been empowered, I've matured. I've always run to him and I've stood in that place. I've never let that place change because he ain't changed it. So from the goodness of God, I found repentance. And my life transformed through the truth of what he's done. And I wanted to go into it much deeper, but that's as much as I'm getting in. Listen to me carefully. It's the guy that plays that here. They feel like I didn't need him the whole time, so they probably ain't here. The guy that plays that here, if he's not here, that's fine. Is there somebody that plays that? And if not, if somebody will come and strum, does he play the keys? You do? Who's coming? Okay, I thought I had two keyboard players. This would be interesting. Four hands, one set of keys, this could be good. You comfortable? You good? You know what I mean? To just flow and love him on the instrument? Just flow? You got it? Let me tell you something. You and me in the Holy Ghost is enough. Alright? You with me? You want? Good. We're going to have fun tonight. It's good. We'll be out of here maybe on time. I'm so scared, Jay. Scared. I'm freaked out scared right now. Because it's 9:04 or something. In fact, the clock is like flashing, like warning, warning. It's just the second thing. But it looks like it's ready to blow up. Did we just see that God sees us holy, blameless, above reproach? How did God make man in the garden? What did he do? He took the dust of the ground. What did he do? He formed it first. It says he formed it. And then what did he do? He breathed on it. What happened to the dirt? man became a living being. When Jesus rose from the dead, Mary realized it was him when he said Mary. She thought he was the gardener. She thought somebody stole Jesus. She was freaking out. She was like, "Go tell me where he is. I'm getting." He said Mary, and she went, "Oh, imagine that. This happened to a lady. It's not a story. It happened to a person that watched him die, that saw the best thing that ever happened to her get beat beyond description and hang on a cross and die. And imagine how distraught. Imagine how he's behind that rock. She knows he's dead, but he meant so much to her. She thought, you know what? I can't see no better place than laying my face against that rock. If he's on the other side, I'll get as close as I get. Ain't no man going with her. They're all scared to death. They ain't going to help her get in there." She took oil and anointing and spices. She can't get behind the stone. Why'd she even take that stuff? She can't move the rock. But she knew he was there, so she went. Well, you gotta love Mary. She gets there, the stone's rolled away, and he's gone. She's freaking out. She said, "Sir, if you've taken him and placed him somewhere, please tell me where. I'll get him and I'll bring him back." He said, "Mary," she went, "Rabboni. Can you imagine? Rabboni. You know she's running for him. Rabboni." He says, "Mary, don't cling to me. He's not unsocial. The best part is yet to come. He came for this moment. He was slain before the foundation of the world, for right now. And Mary is coming. He wouldn't have said, 'Don't cling to me,' if she ain't coming. She's a woman that loves the Lord. Rabboni." She wasn't like, "Ooh, is that really you? But I thought you died. Wait, you're freaking me out. Are you a ghost?" When he said her name, she knew it was him. Rabboni. "Mary, don't cling to me." Probably mid-air. Is he unsocial? Doesn't he have time for her all of a sudden? He's got something very, very important to do. He's got to take his blood to the holy place and apply it to the mercy seat of heaven. Not the blood of God, the blood of a man. To speak mercy on behalf of every man. He said, "Mary, don't you cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But you go tell them little life, two-faced, chicken-hearted." He didn't say it. He said, "You go tell my brethren." What's that covenant term? Family. "You go tell my boys I ain't changed my mind about them. I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God." What's he doing? The best thing's coming. He's going to shoot up to heaven. Walk through the priestly role of the high priest and represent all men to God as he sits at the right hand and represents God to all men. It is a very big deal. Same day in the evening, sure, he shows up in the room. Must have walked through the wall. He had a busy day. He's on the road to Emmaus. Two disciples are breaking bread and they go, "Oh, it's the Lord." Boom, he disappears. He said, "We should have known it was him. Didn't our hearts burn when he spoke?"
Don't you love the gospel? You get excited. I can feel it. You love it.
Same day in the evening. What's the first thing out of his mouth? "Peace be to you." You say, "Well, no wonder he said peace." I'm probably freaked out. No, he said peace because he made peace through his blood. You now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ being justified by faith. Believe it. And he showed him his hands. And he showed him his side. And he says they were glad when they saw it was the Lord. And the very next thing out of his mouth, peace to you. But wait a minute, you already said that. We get that. Why are you reaffirming it? It's a different peace. Why do you say the second peace? Right then. Because as soon as they realize it's the Lord, what happened to their conscience? Absolute guilt. Absolute shame. I mean, Peter threw a net and got a bunch of fish and asked him to depart. I'm a sinful man. What do you think's going on right now? When they all ran for their lives. One of them disciples, whoever it was, tried to get away so bad he ran out of his clothes in the orchard at Gethsemane. In the vineyard. Ran through the trees, naked. A streaking disciple. And I'm the smartest cat on the planet. But when you run out of your clothes, you're trying to get away. You ain't laying down your life. He ran right out of his tunic. They said he ran with nothing on. A minute ago, they were breaking bread. And they were all saying, we'll die. We'll die for him. We ain't scattering. When the shepherd struck, we ain't running. We'll die. Oh, yeah, right. Streak. When they felt his hands inside, what's the first thing that came on their minds? Guilt. Shame. We failed him. We betrayed him. Probably didn't even want to look up as much as they love him. So he said, peace to you. Why? Because he didn't come to look at them through their sin. He came to look at them through his blood. So he said, most amazing thing, as the Father, it's John 20, it's there, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. You find me a limitation on that. As the Father sent me. You say, yeah, miracles, power, wonder. No. For God so. How he sent the Son? In his love. Just the way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he did something so remarkable. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Why did he go? Why didn't he just say, receive the Holy Spirit? Why didn't he just say, fill? Because he's the redemption of man. And he brings man back to the beginning. And his blood makes it as if sin never happened. Let us, Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. John 20, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Do you hear it? Let us make man in our image. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And right then, how did God bring man to life in the garden? Why do you think Jesus breathed on that man? Because everything in that breath was lost through sin. But sin just got taken away because he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he took them back to Genesis 1, breathed life into them as if sin never happened. And then he said this, if you forgive the sins of any, they shall be forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they shall be retained. When do you have permission to see men for their faults? When do you have permission to judge a man for where he's been? When do you have any permission for unforgiveness? Anywhere in Scripture? Then why is he talking about if you retain sins as if it's an option? Why do you even say that? Here's what he's saying. If you go love men the way I've just loved you, they will know the way to forgiveness and they will know the way to me. But if you harden your heart and let life speak louder than truth and fail to manifest this love, how will they know my love and how will they know my forgiveness? Because you are the body of Christ. I've seen people do things in the sin life. I've seen people make mistakes. Whoever's made a mistake. And after you made it, and after time, and maybe after a long while, you said, whoa, that was a mistake. And if I could go back and change it, I would. But it's too late now, so I'll just live changed. See, you can't change where you've been. But who you are can be changed.
Amen.
But this is what I learned. I learned that some people in their decisions, lifestyle, and things have brought stuff into their life. Things have come upon their life. They've marked themselves for where they've been and what they've done. Some got in their blood. Some hurt an organ. They went out binged and they don't have the same memory that they used to have. They can't concentrate. They know they're not the same since that night they binged. Something changed. All this happens to people. They were alcoholic. They smoked like crazy. Their lung capacity is restricted. They were alcoholic and their liver ain't working like it could. Who knows that folks went out and did that thing and that thing bit them for keeps? Who knows people were promiscue and they got an HIV or they got hepatitis or they got an STD? Who knows that happens to people? Well, this is what I'm getting at right now with them playing the Holy Ghost here. When you're repentant, when you say you're sorry, when your heart is says, man, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have been where I was then. Here's what I've learned. God will never judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for what you've become. So if God will never judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been judging you? If you're a new creation in Christ and old things pass away and all things become new, why is the old thing coming into new? I'm telling you, I've seen it leave thousands of times over. STDs, brain damage, mind concentration damage, organ damage, bloodstream stuff, disease, going, girls cutting, clean skin, right now. I've seen it a lot. Why? Because God won't judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for where His Son has been. And there's new life through Jesus Christ. You know why I preach it this way? Don't just throw it in with healing. Because people believe they get what they deserve. And they say, well, you reap what you sow. Well, that's true without repentance. But when you repent, you reap what He sowed. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, there's a brand new bed. And it's got amazing clean sheets. You probably ought to jump in and sleep tight. You know what I've learned? People messed around when they were 18, got something in their body, got married when they were 23. Now their spouse and them are jumping hurdles and hoops trying to keep that thing from passing, or it's already long past in. And now there's both spouses carrying that thing because of sin when they're 18, but now they're totally born again. I'm telling you, that thing coming out of your marriage, that thing will come out of your body. And I'm not being arrogant. That's the gospel. So I need you to be humble tonight with Him playing sweet and soft like that. And me being passionate and serious. And God, He ain't playing because He shed blood for this. He's really serious. You see, settle down, brother. You ain't got a clue. Now ain't the right time to settle down. Never was. He shed blood for our lives. Here's what I'm telling you. We'll have to do it quick and it won't take long. If you've lived improperly, you've made mistakes, you've changed since then, you say, man, if I could go back and do it over, God knows I would. I know I would. I've cried about that. See, when that little herpy thing breaks out, it reminds you and takes you back there. Now regret, condemnation, you got to fight with feelings. Genital warts is there, and all of a sudden you go, why did I have to do that all those years? That thing is still with me. And all of a sudden that thing reminds you again and again and again. It shows His face and says, remember? I'm telling you, He wants to take that thing out. It's called redemption, brought back to original value. Receive Holy Spirit as if you've never sinned. You're in this room tonight. Don't you be ashamed. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's nobody's business what's going on. Nobody's business where you've been, what you've done, and what you're believing for. God knows. Nobody's business. There's people in here that deserve a mark and never got one. There's people that went out of their way to get a mark and never got one. There's people that did some one, two times, got caught up in a whirlwind of emotions and crossed the line and got one. It ain't fair out there. There ain't no mercy out there. But there's mercy through you. So if you're living with something from yesterday in your born-again life and it's carrying with your body today, spirit, soul, or body, I need you to be humble. I need you to get up here real quick. We're going to pray. And God's going to change things. Come on up here and receive His love. Don't you be ashamed. You watch and see how many people this goes and pertains to. There's a reason we preach this thing tonight. Because God wants to set the slate right. If you feel like you need to cry, make sure your tears are positive, not condemnation. You cry because you believe He loves you. You cry because He forgives you. You cry because He's for you and not against you. Don't you cry in remorse. Don't you cry in regret. Don't you cry because of what you did. You already cried enough over that. You cry because He's good. His mercy endureth forever. And He never took His eyes off of you. That He paid a price through His Son to redeem you, spirit, soul, and body, holy, blameless, until He comes. It's 1 Thessalonians 5. I read my Bible. It's there. So good. You don't have to look up. You can stay right before the Lord. But I know you hear my voice. Answer this question in your heart. And if your answer is yes, that's a good thing. If you could go back and do over whatever reason you're here for, if you could change some things and rewrite some pages in your history, in your yesterday, I mean, would you go back and do that? Knowing what you know now, would some things look different about yesterday? Would you conduct yourself different? Would you make different choices? If you said yes, then I got good news for you. You're not the person anymore that we're even talking about. That person died, and when he died, you died. But when he rose, you rose again in the newness of life. It's scripture, people. There's no way around it. It's too late. The train's rolling, and this thing's here. Just thank Him right now for believing, or for loving you and that you believe that. Thank Him right now for loving you and believe that. Some of you need to whisper it out of your heart. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for never marking me, never giving up on me, never just seeing me through unrighteousness, for always seeing me through your Son. Thank you for tonight, for so mercifully coming and washing me clean and treating me and touching me and handling me as if I've never sinned. I humbly receive it tonight, Lord. And I humbly say thank you for making me clean. Holy Spirit, I thank you for coming. I thank you for redemption. I don't have to touch anybody, I promise. I just feel like I want to. Completely clean. Completely clean. As if you've never sinned. The love of the Father be upon you. Washed, clean, pure, and holy in His sight. Spirit of God, come in this place and wash your children clean. Yeah, never again be found in your life, never again be found in your body. Yeah, completely clean. Because you love Him. In Jesus' name, completely clean, God. Redemption, righteousness, as if we've never sinned. God, as if we've never sinned. Touch your kids in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Completely clean. Completely free. Whew. Yeah. Oh, good God. Completely clean. Completely free. Yeah. Completely whole. Completely washed and cleansed. Innocent in the matter. Pure in the matter. Finished, God. Just like your Son said, it is finished. I thank you, it's done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just bear with me. Pray for Him. Stretch your hands and bless Him. believe God's doing beautiful things in their lives. Thank you for your amazing, unstoppable love. Thank you for what you do in us. Yeah. God, thank you for washing them clean. Thank you. Stay right where you're at for a minute if you want. If you want to stand, you can go up front. If I want the people to stand on their feet, if you feel like you want to stand, I want you to stand. If you feel like you want to kneel for a little and just stay before the Lord, that's fine. There's no right or wrong right now. But if you're standing to your feet, along with these people that were humble enough to come up here, I'm telling you, God doesn't do these things without doing anything. He changes us through His blood. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody in this house. Just begin to thank Him for loving you personally. I'm telling you, if you haven't said that before, it'd be really good to say it now. If you haven't said it much, it'd be really good to say it now. If you haven't said it for a long time, it'd really be good to say it now. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for never changing your mind about me. Thank you, God, that you've always seen me for destiny and purpose and potential. You had to die, Jesus, because of my sin, but you didn't die because I was a sinner. You died because I was a lost son. You wanted to put your life back inside of me. You wanted to redeem the truth about me from the beginning. You wanted to fill me with your spirit and power me to walk in the light and walk in the truth. And I thank you for it, and I will not be ashamed of this gospel. It is a gospel that I didn't earn. It didn't come through my works. It came by the grace of God. And I'm not ashamed to say that I believe that's my Father. You loved me when I was unlovable. You knew the truth about my destiny. You knew the truth about why I was here. You knew me from the beginning. Before time, you saw me. And you never changed your mind. Thank you for unstoppable love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for making me holy and pure and above reproach in your sight. I'm done believing lies. I'm done second guessing. I'm done with guilt, condemnation, and shame. You saved me. You loved me. You forgave me. I give myself to you in true faith tonight. And I ain't looking back. I'm not Lot's wife. I'm your bride. I will not be stuck from where I got delivered to where I'm headed. I will not be somewhere in between. I'm heading to the place you've called me to, God. And I believe you love me. I believe this gospel. Thank you. You will never change your mind. Give me wisdom. Empower me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Holy Spirit, would you come in a special way? Would you come and empower people right now to be a witness? If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, He's your gift. He's for you. He's a person. He's not a wind. He's not a feeling. He's not a vibration. He's a person. He's called God the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come. Father, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and touch every person asking. Father, you said ask and it shall be given. If we, being of evil nature, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more you'll give Holy Spirit if we ask. Holy Spirit, come and empower people. Empower us, baptize us in your Spirit and in your fire. And empower us to shine and be a witness. Father, I thank you that you override discouragement, yell but, second guessing. I believe tonight you're working something in our hearts that is lasting. I believe, God, you're taking us out of a place that was weak and you're placing us in a place that's strong. God, I thank you if someone was self-conscious, you're changing that, Lord. They're becoming more Spirit-conscious, more Christ-conscious, more aware of others, God, than ever before. And I thank you we will no longer be stumbled by the course of life, because the giver of life is inside of us. God, we're done asking questions at the cost of the things our heart already knows. We're coming after you. Thanks for responding with your Spirit. Empower this room, God. Every person in it. Let blueprints be marked with longevity to run this race worthy of a prize, to cross that finish line, to accomplish what was set out to do, and add to it understanding, empowerment, and increased revelation. More, Lord, have your way. You found the people that say yes. We're done with offense. We're done with bitterness. We're done with unforgiveness. We want to walk in your love. Holy Spirit, come to let the truth of this weekend be the fruit of our lives. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands with me high. Let the truth of this weekend be the fruit of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.